All right. Thank you, young ladies. I'm sure glad you paid my ransom. Amen. All right. Good to see everyone today. Hope you brought your Bible, and I'll ask you to open it to one of the maybe the hardest little books to find, to go to the little book of Micah. Now, if you can get to Jonah and go to your right, that'll help. If you get to Nahum, not Ho-Hum, but Nahum, you go to your left. And if that don't help you, I don't know. What else to say? Micah chapter 7, last chapter, little book of Micah. Looking in the margin of my Bible, I realize I used this text maybe a couple of years ago with the Father's Day sermon, according to the date there that's on it. But I'm going to do a little different this morning. I'm going to try to stay with the verses pretty close. No preacher ever gets up in 30 minutes and uses up all the text. Do you know that? And you won't allow much more time than that. I understand that. So most of us bite off more than we can do in one time. But this morning I'm probably doing that, but I want to look at the verses pretty much themselves, and I want to talk to you a little bit on the subject, when the good is gone. How many of you remember as a kid when you got chewing gum and you chewed the goody out of it? Remember? Some of you don't remember. Well, let me ask you this. When you stuck it on the bedpost that night and got it the next morning, was it as good? Some of you don't know about science like that, but anyway. I want to talk to you when the good is gone. You know, a lot of times you hear things about young couples after they get married. I heard about the young couple got married, and immediately the wife was complaining about to her husband about the old clothes she was wearing. She said, "Look, somebody come through here, and they'd think I was the cook wearing these old clothes." He said, "If they stayed for supper, they wouldn't think that." Amen. Young husband at the table was fussing. He said, "You don't make biscuits like Mama used to. Those good biscuits she made." She said, "Well, I'll tell you something else. I miss the dough, too, that Daddy brought in." So sometimes you miss the good. And that's in the text right here a little bit, picking it up in about seven verses. Do your best to look at the words. We'll help you with them here in just a moment, but there's a tremendous, tremendous message here in the little prophetic book of Micah. Micah was talking to Israel. He was warning of God's judgment. He was telling them to repent. And then he was telling them of the blessings that would come from that. And the passage we read is prophetic. It jumps into the future. And we'll see that in just a moment. He says, "Woe is me, for I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits, as the grape gleanings of the vintage. There is no cluster to eat. My soul desired the first ripe fruit. The good man is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net, that they may do evil with both hands earnestly. The prince asketh, and the judge asketh for a reward, and the great man he uttereth his mischievous desire, so they wrap it up. The best of them is as a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of thy watchman and thy visitation cometh. Now shall be their perplexity. Trust ye not in a friend. Put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. For the son dishonoreth the father. The daughter riseth up against her mother. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. Therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me." Now, putting Micah in context, he's declaring God's indictment against the nation, against Israel. And while he addresses Judah and others, he is mainly talking to the what we would call the nation of the Jews, and God's indictment about them. He's encouraged them to repent, and he's telling them what is coming, and he's preaching prophetically here of Israel with a special time that he is prophetically announcing is going to come. Now, it should be a joyous time. The time he's speaking of here is springtime. It's summer fruits. It's the time of the harvest, the time when the crops are brought in and the prepared for storing, and it's a happy time. It's springtime. It's a good thing, a joyous season, but it's now turned otherwise. And he speaks here in verse 1 of how his soul has a desire, but something's happened. It's not going like it should. The joy is not there, and the victory of the harvest and the crops and so forth is not there. So we'll go down through the verses and look at it just a little bit. To begin with, we see Micah the prophet here as he laments the missing fruit. Now, he was not the only one. He was contemporary with Isaiah. Jeremiah mentions him. Even the Lord quotes him in the New Testament. But he's lamenting here the missing fruit. He says in verse 1, there's no cluster now. Talking about the cluster of grapes and the crop has failed, so to speak. And it's a sad picture. And he says this, the good man is perished. Now, if you play a little bit with the word there, and the King James always has the best word, but wrapped up in that word perished is also the word vanish. It's disappeared. It's gone. It's missing. And prophetically, you and I, as we run the clock forward and the calendar forward a little bit, we can understand what Micah in his context here is looking way down the road. He's looking to the time when the good man is going to vanish from the earth. He's looking at a sad time, a time when bad things are going to be happening, when everything is corrupt, and he's looking way down the road. And you and I know that he's referring to the time that the good man vanisheth. It's what we Christians, Bible believers, call the rapture. The second coming of Christ, when those that are his, Bible believers, those that have been born again, are going to vanish. They're going to perish from the earth. They're going to be missed. They're going to go up. And it's a time here, while this is springtime and the harvest of the fruit, it's a time fruit is judged. Now, the setting of the timing here is in the feast day of the Pentecost. Pentecost, one of the feast days of Israel, 50 days after the Passover. And so in this setting here, we have Micah saying the good man is vanished or perishing from the earth. And the old Jews believe on that day of Pentecost, it was a time that the crop or the fruit or the harvest was judged. Now, running that forward into what we know from the New Testament and Christianity, we recognize there's a time coming when the good are those been made good in Jesus. No man's good on his own. But those that are born again in Christ and have his righteousness, there's a time coming mysteriously when God's people are going to vanish, they're going to disappear, they're going to go up, they're going to perish from the earth. And Pentecost was a time when the fruit was judged. When the Jews said the fruit trees are judged. You and I understand as believers, when we're raptured out of here, where do we go? We go to the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:10. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the deeds done in the body, whether good or bad, Paul says. You know what that is? That's the time the fruit's judged. You know why you're left here after you're saved? Produce fruit. Produce fruit. You know that fruit's going to have an inspection one day? Jesus said, you know a tree by the fruit that it bears. And we're going to go before the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to answer for the deeds done in the body from the time we were saved. Our fruit's going to be inspected. Question is, have we got any? Been faithful to the Lord after he saved you? Done anything for his cause after you got saved? Well, your fruit's going to be inspected one day. And here in the setting, as it were, at Pentecost, we find Micah here lamenting the fact that the fruit has failed, that it's not good, it's not a joyous time like it ought to be. And you and I know that he's talking about a time yet ahead, what we would call the church age, the grace age. And by the way, Jesus, speaking to Israel, spoke of them as a fig tree. Remember the scripture? Remember how that the day came that he looked on the fig tree for some fruit. It was in season, but it didn't have any. Remember the story? Ever read your Bible? There it is.
What'd he do? He cursed the fig tree. And when the disciples came back by the next day, it was dead. It was gone. You'll find several times in the scripture when Jesus compared Israel to being the fig tree, but they didn't produce any fruit. And the Lord let it stand a while, and finally he told the gardener to cut it down, remember? Israel got cut down. We're in the grace age, the church age. We're in a gap between the time God let the blindness overtake Israel and the time we're waiting on till the rapture when the church age is finished and God picks up to deal with Israel again. Right now, Romans 11 says this blindness in part come to Israel. And they're still in the blindness right now. But you see, when the rapture takes place, he looks here and he laments that the good man is perished out of the earth. Now listen to me. When the rapture takes place, the best friends the nation of Israel has ever had are going to be gone. That's Bible believers. That's you and I that are born again in the Lord Jesus Christ. The best friend, the Bible believers are going to be on. I'm talking about the best friends they have right now on earth. I want to tell you, the reason America is still reluctantly, and I emphasize reluctantly, back in Israel right now is because of people that believe the Bible. You and I, we've still got a little pressure. Even in the bad government that we've got, we've still got a little bit of representation that says, don't turn your back on Israel. And you let the rapture take place, and Israel is going to lose the best friend. They're going to lose this good man that has perished out of the earth in the text here. Now, looking in the next verses, after that man disappears, after the rapture takes place, after the good is gone, what's left is described in the next two verses. Verses 2 through 4. The good man is perished. Watch it. There's none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net, that they may do evil with both hands, earnestly. Notice here, none upright. They wait for blood. You know what waiting for blood says? It says premeditated, planned. When the bombers exploded the pressure cookers, they premeditated that. They planned that. Sad thing is we financed it with our tax money also. I saw where they had received at least $100,000 in welfare and scholarship and stuff. Whole family living off of it. It's crazy what's going on. But that aside, they premeditated to do what they did. And the more they dig into it, the more they find that happens to be the case. But they wait for blood. By the way, in the trial this week of the abortion doctor up there in Philadelphia, that's premeditated. When they're taking live babies from women and killing them because they survived and got out and not help them, let them lay there and die, or even worse, take the scissors and clip their spinal cord. Horrible stuff that we're talking about. Premeditated. That's the time we live in. We live in that time that the prophet here is speaking of. And he says that they hunt with a net. Now, if you're hunting with a net, you're setting a trap. Traps are being set everywhere all over this old world today for the righteous. And it amazes me right here in America, the traps that are set. Everybody is trying to get you. Sue happy. Couple of cars banged together on purpose so they can sue you. Steal your ID card any kind of way they can. That's setting a trap. That's a net, if you please. Crazy what's going on. Makes you almost afraid to try to help someone. Maybe a trap. It's crazy. I stopped at noon. It's been a long time back now. I stopped at noon at a fast hamburger joint. Walked in, and it was right at noon, and there was a car parked just ahead of me, several cars, but this one, I saw the mother and I assumed a grown son, at least in his late 20s or early 30s, get out with his mother. I saw as they got out of the car, he looked wobbly, and I thought maybe he's on medication or something, but I walked in behind him. He walked into the place. There was a little line at the counter. I walked in behind him. We stepped in there. And I noticed he was kind of moving. And directly he just kind of fainted and went down on the floor. And a lot of folks grabbed and helped and got him up and so forth, like I should have. Some few days later, I'm sitting in the office and I get a phone call, and it's from the lawyer representing the hamburger place, because the manager recognized me and knew me and saw me standing back there. So they called me to get my story on what I saw happen, because they were being sued. He said, "Did the man slip on the floor?" I said, "No, he didn't." I said, "He barely got in the door walking. He was so wobbly, he stood there a minute and fainted. Nobody touched him. Nobody pushed him. No, there was no slick floor." I said, "No way is it your fault." He said, "Well, they're suing us." I said, "What's going to happen?" He said, "We'll pay off." I said, "You what?" He said, "It's cheaper than going to court, and they know it." That's the age we live in. That's where the net's been set. That's where the trap's been set. That's the day and time when good common decency and common sense is just gone. And if I can get you, I'll get you. If I can steal from you, I'll steal from you. That's the age we've moved into, folks. And Micah here, 800 years before Christ was born, is writing about a time like this. If you think it's bad now, you wait till the good man vanishes out of the earth. You wait till the trumpet sounds. You wait till the rapture takes place and the church is called out. It's going to get just what Micah says right here. It's going to get worse. I mean, look at it in verse 3. He says here that the judge asketh for a reward. He said the prince asketh and the judge asketh for a reward. Now, we could change that word to bribe and it would fit. In other words, it's payoff. It's corruption. It's cheating. It's on the table. That's the time that we look. Political corruption everywhere you look. And it is amazing how it's increasing. The evil desire. Notice it here. How he talks about his mischievous desire. We've got something else going on that is unbelievable today. I saw, and some of you did, you saw where... Of course, corporations have been having to do this. They've been forced to do this for a long time. They've been having to have training sessions to make their workers gay sensitive. Sensitive to the feelings and to the needs of the gays. And I saw this week where there's a group pushing now to bring in a seminar, to bring in a program into the churches to teach us how to be gay sensitive. I'm already gay sensitive. I've been gay sensitive for a long time. You say they're afraid. They're afraid of you being a phobic. I'm sort of am. Homophobic? Yeah, I got a bad case of it. Don't intend to get well of it. Amen? The whole thing is, that's the age, though, that we have moved into right now. And Micah is describing a time that the prince and the judge is not going to be fair. They're going to be corrupt. They can be paid off. And all this mischievous desire and all they utter, they just say, wrap it up and give it to them. And that's where we're at today. The attack on the Christians, and many of you this morning and before Sunday school, some of you hand me some papers, I'd already seen it, and can't take much time on it. But our military now is in trouble because there's a lot of Christians in there that are beginning to be noticed because they speak up for Jesus Christ. The chaplains have been under pressure now for a long time, in many cases, not to even use the name of Jesus Christ. Now, they've already got chaplains in there that deal, Muslim chaplains and other religions, and even the homosexual thing pushed in there. But now they're saying that two G.I. Joes that go to the canteen and sit at the table and talk about Jesus may be charged for treason against the Constitution. Papers, some of you got some this morning you were showing to me. Can you imagine that? America. America. I'm looking right here on a paper, and I've got a little small copy up in the corner. I really ought to have brought a magnifying glass, but I know what it says. It's called Religious Extremism. This is a list made by our administration to warn the country about who the terrorists are, the terrorist groups to watch out for. Guess who's at the top of the group? Welcome, fellow terrorists. You are, if you're a Bible believer. I'm reading it right here. Here's the name. Evangelical Christianity, U.S. Christians. Top of the list. Terrorist list. Being a danger to the country. Government approved list. I'm talking to you about. Oh, yes, next to us is the Muslim Brotherhood. But then they come back and they say Orthodox Islam. Then they got Al-Qaeda. How about that? Goes right on down the list, and several other Christian groups are named. It's amazing, folks, what we have come to, where Isaiah said they would call evil good and good evil. And that's where we're at right now. I'm talking to you about something that Micah said 800 years before Christ was born. See, the Bible's like no other book. It tells you what has happened, what is happening, and what will happen. And there's no other book like that. Now, look at it. The political corruption here. They're tacked on Christians. On top of the terrorist list. But going on down to verses 5 and 6 in the text here. Look what it says in verse 5. Trust ye not in a friend. Put ye not confidence in a guide. Now, he's predicting a time that you and I know to be the tribulation period. After the good man's caught out. After the rapture. This old earth is going through 7 years of hell. It's going through a time when the Antichrist will come and set up his kingdom. It's going through a time that is going to persecute Israel. It is a bad time. It is, we're seeing the shadow of it now. And some of these things that are in the news today are nothing more than what is started that will be fulfilled during that period of time. The day of Jacob's trouble, God will deal with Israel. It'll be a bad time. If you're left here, you don't have to be. You can go up when the good man goes up. If you've been saved, born again. And listen to me, if you haven't, you will be left here. You will be left here. I'm not being mean to you. I'm trying to give you a good warning. There's a way to get out of here, and there's a way to stay and be here when the worst happens. Now, verse 5 and 6, he talks about when nobody can trust. No trust. Look who he's talking about on this list. By the way, Jesus quoted this portion right here in Matthew chapter 10 in the setting of the tribulation, woes of the tribulation period. But here in verse 5 and 6, trust ye not in a friend. Put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. Who is that? Should be the wife. Can you see a time in the tribulation period coming when a man better not say anything to his wife he don't report it? I got quiet. Say, mine's already like that. No, but I'm talking about average. Talking about average, amen. The truth is, you can't trust anybody, is what the verses say. Can't trust anybody. See, we're already into Orwell's Big Brother government that was predicted. You can hardly move in America right now but what you're on camera. You're on camera now. I won't touch that. Truth is, just about everywhere you go, you are. Big Brother government. Now, while there's a good side, like we caught the bombers because of the cameras, there's also a negative side. And there's a time coming, the Bible predicts, when families will be spying on each other, reporting each other, and even a husband can't trust what he says to his wife. That's the tribulation period Michael's talking about here. But there's an expected event that he says is going to happen. Did you notice it right here? He talks on down. And he says, the day of thy watchman, verse 4, and thy visitation cometh, now shall be their perplexity. Do you know, if you read your Bible students, you know there's a time been predicted, many places in the Bible, that speaks of a time of Israel's visitation. a time, bad time, that's coming. In Jeremiah 30, it's called the day of Jacob's trouble. And there's several places in the Bible that it's mentioned that it's coming, and God said in one place that he would bring what they feared the most upon them. And that time is yet ahead, and all that's between it and happening is God's people, a good man, to perish from the earth, to vanish, the rapture. Now, the expected event is the day of the watchman, the visitation. That equals a tribulation, long predicted in the Bible for Israel. I'll show you one place real quick. Just let me do it. Ezekiel chapter 38, next to the, this is, many of you know, two or three chapters here dealing with the northern powers and the end time coming against Israel. I pick it up in verse 15 of Ezekiel 38. And thou shalt come upon thy place, from thy place, out of the north parts. Where are they coming from? From the north. And many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, and a great company and a mighty army. Most every Bible student will tell you this is the northern confederation of nations. We today would be looking at Syria. We'd be looking at Iran. We'd be looking at Turkey. We'd be looking at Russia. That's the group that's going to move down against Israel. What's holding them back? The rapture hadn't happened yet. Now, there's some argument on that, but I'll tell you what. They're going to move quick against Israel when Israel's best friend is taken. And that's the Bible-believing Christians of this world. That's an expected event. Current news today backs it up. You got that cute little boy ruler over in Korea threatening to drop a bomb. What a mess. Talk about leaderless nations. He may even top us, I'm not sure. Be close. But that's the day and time that we live in right now. Korea, Iran, Syria, Russia. Do you understand when the rapture takes place, the good of America is going to be gone? Folks, there's more people saved in America than you think. There's some even in high places. There's a few in Congress. There might even be one or two in the White House. I'm not sure. But the truth of the matter is, when the rapture takes place, this nation's going to be crippled for the good side of it. For the good side of it. You know, the military, talk about AWOL in the military. You let the rapture take place. Had a young soldier come and sit right over here on the right one morning, hear me preach. And they came and talked to me later. And he said, "Preacher, when we were going into Iraq," he said, "I was over there." He said, "We were getting you, I'll say radio, but the internet, whatever it is, the technology." He said, "We were getting you." He said, "I had a prayer meeting in my tent." He said, "It was packed full." And he said, "We listened to you preach," and he said, "I told those boys they needed to get saved before they went into battle the next morning, and I forget it was three or four of them got saved that night in the tent." There's a lot of saved young men in the military. A lot of men that thought about their soul when they knew that next day they might not live through it. And I want to say to you, there, no matter how many books they print and accuse them of treason and court-martial and everything else, if they speak up, they're not going to be able to stop them no more than the lions stopped the Christians in the days of Rome. They're going to keep speaking. And when the rapture takes place, we'll have a crippled military, to say the least. The least. The best will be gone. Say, "Well, preacher, when?" Well, I believe soon. I believe the text here is occurring springtime, Pentecost. Many Bible students right now are very excited at this time of year because the time is Pentecost. Here it is, May 5th. Israel came back to the land in 1948, 14th and 15th of May. Pentecost this year, for the first time in 65 years, hits the exact birthday of Israel. And so on the night of the 14th of this month, and the day of the 15th, will be Pentecost. It'll be springtime. It just may be the time of the harvest. Because you see, the rapture is spoken of as a harvest of souls. of the saved being caught out. And that could be the picture. And a lot of Bible students are excited about that right now. By the way, just in about 10 days, we'll know. So are you predicting it? No, but I'm wishing for it. Definitely wishing for it. Praying for it. Be all right if it comes before then. How do you feel about it? Would you be ready? So I don't like that preacher scaring me. Does that tell you something? Does that tell you something if you don't have peace about hearing the Word of God about Jesus returning? Does that tell you something? I think it should. See, Jewish traditions seem to fit the day of Pentecost, and some of them seem to fit the day of Rosh Hashanah, which would be the next feast, but Jewish traditions seem to fit. For one thing, on the day of Pentecost, the Orthodox Jews waited all night. They didn't go to bed. They stayed up all night the night before, and they called it decorating the bride. Some young lady would be preparing for marriage, and they would decorate. I don't know how, but if you've ever seen a woman primp, it could take all night. But anyway, they decorated the bride all night. And sometime during the night, this was their tradition, sometime during the night before Pentecost, they believed there was a small opening would come in heaven, and that the bridegroom might come back for his bride. Well, we know the New Testament picture that Jesus is the bridegroom and the church is the bride. And one day there's going to be an opening, there's going to be a rapture, there's going to be a time that we're going to be caught up to meet him in the air. So that tradition kind of seems to fit for the day of Pentecost and for the Lord to come when the good man, good because of the righteousness of Christ, is going to be vanishing from the earth. That's what the text is talking about. Watched all night, decorated the bride. And they also said it was a time that the fruit was judged. We Christians that are caught up, we're going to be caught up to the marriage, but we're also going to be caught up to the judgment seat where our fruit is going to be judged. How do we live for Jesus after we got saved? Now I want to say to you that are not saved, you know as good as you know your name that you're not saved this minute. You know as good as you know your name that if Jesus came back for the saved, you'd be left behind. I want to say this to you. You'll miss the good man when he perishes out of the earth. You will say, I never thought it could get this bad. But it will. But it will. It'll get really, really bad. See, right now, some of the people you criticize and gossip about and criticize and fuss about, they're the ones that's restraining the evil in this old world. You'll miss them when they're gone. You will miss them when they're gone. For as bad as it might be in Washington and other governments of the world, there is still a restraint. Believers are still a restraint because the Holy Spirit lives within them, and he is a restraining power. And the truth of the matter is that you'll miss them when they're gone. And I'll say to you on a personal basis, have you got a mother praying for you? Will you miss her prayers when she's gone? You got somebody that's been passing you a track on the job and telling you you need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him? You'll miss him when he's gone. You'll miss the good when it's gone. Yes, you will. The good is still here. And while it may seem to be outnumbered and on the losing side, you're going to find out we're doing a lot more good than you thought. And you're going to miss it. And you're going to miss it. Now, I'm reading to you from a book here, 2,800 years old. And yet it could have been written yesterday as far as the times that we're living in right now. And what it says, and I didn't have time to get through it as much as I'd like, the time is on us when, except for the trumpet blast and the good man being called out, all these things are developing right now. And pretty well have developed right now. Are you ready? Yeah, Pentecost will come in about 10 days, about the 15th. I don't know whether Jesus would come on that before or after, But he's coming one day. He's coming for the saved. Christian, there's going to be a fruit inspection. How are you living for him? Unbeliever, you're going to be left behind for all the worst that you can read in this Bible taking place on this earth. Please don't be here. Say, how did I get out, preacher? You received Christ that loved you and died for you. You trust him. The day will come you can't trust even your own wife or kids or family, but you can trust him and he'll never let you down. He's the one they were singing about this morning, paying for your sins on the cross, shedding the blood, paying the ransom. That's what he did for you. Have you ever let him be your Savior? No matter what you've done, what your name is, who you are, you can come trust him to forgive your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, the Bible says. That's a promise to you this morning. I hope you'd claim it. I hope you'll leave that seat as we sing a verse of invitation and come and receive the Lord Jesus Christ.